Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a wonderful Wednesday, right in the middle, sitting right in the middle of the week. And I hope your week has been a wonderful one so far. And we are really excited to dive into your wonderful brevities, awesome, awesome talent we have on this site. Oh, my gracious. And you're listening to Keeping It Brief, which is a radio show that is put up by late night poets on a website that's called All Poetry. You don't have to be a member of the site to phone in or listen in to the show, but it is highly recommended. And it's a collaboration between late night poets and a group called Brevity Writers. And hello, my name is Naomi Sarah, and with me I have my lovely co-host, Weaver of Dreams, Kate, and in the background helping out is our wonderful Pam Ray. So without further ado, like they say, I would really like to welcome my co-host, Kate. So hi, Kate. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, Naomi. Having a wonderful time just trying to get organized because, as you know, the gods of the radio waves do not like me and are giving me great always. But I'm here.
Yeah, but yeah, and you sound fab. Like they say, the young kids, you're that fab.
To be up to date, I think you should say I sound sick, which I probably am.
Oh, do you have a cold? You came up with a cold or something?
Yeah, I have ongoing problems. Mostly, yeah, we've been trying to breathe. But no, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. I was just being facetious, as you know, is my problem. That's what you would be.
Oh, well, you know, I have, the coughing is back and, oh my gracious, the coughing, But
uh-huh.
Yeah, but, less dead than it was last time, but I hope, I don't get sick, that pneumonia again, but germs, stay away and don't come back another day.
Definitely. Oh yeah. I mean, there's nothing worse. I mean, you and I are talking away quite happily. My voice has gone completely. I try a lower register and I sound like I smoke 60 a day. There's only 60 a week.
So yeah, well, we have a wonderful board, oh my gracious, full of poetry, wonderful brevities again this week. People are still adding on. I saw Randa just added one on the end there. Poor Randa. So let's get into this wonderful, lineup of brevities here, Kate. And how do you want to proceed? Do you want to put them in brevity writers and I'll try and put them in LNP, or how would you like to go ahead?
I think as you're reading comments and things, I would try. At the moment, I've got it in the first one in, where am I? See, I'm losing them. I've got so much space between everything. I wish it would all come together. Right, so I have got one already in Late Night Poets, which I'll put up, and that's Red Winged Blackbird by Roosevelt, Roosevelt Island by Miriam Kill. So I've got that one in Late Night Poets now, and I'll go ahead and try and find Brevity because it's way down the bottom of the page. Would you like to start us off by reading this one?
Yes, okay. So I'm so happy to read this for Miriam, which is listening in. She just was on the board. So hi, Miriam. And I hope, you're doing well at the restaurant and not chewing too much gum. So this is Red Winged Blackbird by Red Winged Blackbird by Miriam Kilmore. And your cry, raucous and shrill, pierced the marsh calm. White gold reeds stood at attention. Sky spanned overhead. Your song shocked my ears. I turned to find your sleek black feathered form clinging to a reed. You streaked across the wetland, flashing scarlet and saffron. Oh, wow, just beautiful. I love her use of color. And, you can just witness, that witness there moment. She really captured this moment here of, this bird, this blackbird taking off, and she put it down in words so brilliantly. Wow. What a wonderful brevity this is, Miriam. What did you think, Kate?
Yes. Yes. Wonderful, Miriam. I really enjoyed this. Excuse me for that delay. This is me trying to calm down. I thought it was absolutely lovely. The cry, raucous and shrill, pierced the marsh calm. White gold reeds stood at attention. Silent skies spanned overhead. That's lovely. That really is. And then the shock your ears get when you hear that sort of, yeah, really rock. It's a horrible sound, actually. But then the bird shrieks away. Now, scarlet and saffron. Ah, blackbird, scarlet and saffron. We only get black here. We don't get coloured. So that must be fascinating. It must be so beautiful to see. And you see there, I've learned something new again. I love this. So cool. So yes, thank you very much for sharing that, Miriam. I really enjoyed it. It was a lovely. You put so much into that brevity. I could actually see it. So thank you.
Yeah, and this was a front page pick. So, you know, wonderful, you know, wonderful. Bravo on that. And so well deserved. You know, she captured so well the sound and the color, you know, the movement of the bird here. So bravo, Miriam. And have a good shift at the restaurant. And where are we going on, Kate? To where do we go on to?
Well, I'm just going to put mine on because it's so pathetic that I don't want to put it on after anybody else further down the line.
I'll get it on. Come on.
No, I'll just get rid of it now so I don't have to blush later on, you know. So I think I'm going to have to read it as well. Oh, my goodness. I think you send the SoundCloud in. What a palomi. Okay. It's called Trees by the Wee Scots Woman. Okay. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Once upon a time, long, long ago, in the past, when TV was in black and white, there was a three-minute report. This was being broadcast on April Fool's Day, 1957, on a program called Panorama. It supposedly showed a Swiss family smiling happily and harvesting strands of fresh pasta from their spaghetti trees. At that time, spaghetti was relatively unknown in the UK. This was, of course, long before we had WWW, and a number of viewers afterwards contacted the BBC for advice on how to grow their own spaghetti trees. End poem.
Oh, that is so, so awesome, Kate. Oh, my gracious. And this is really true. Yeah. Wow. This is true?
Yes, this is true. I loved it.
Oh, wow. This is amazing. Oh, my gracious, spaghetti trees. Can you imagine? This is hilarious. I want a spaghetti tree.
So did I at the time.
Yeah, and I just love how you capture our attention. You know, I was just like, are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Once upon a time, long, long ago, in the past, when TV was in black and white, there was a three-minute report. Oh, my gracious, what's gonna happen? You know, you really, really capture all our attention there at the beginning. I just love, love, love how you started out this right, and then, you know, how you wonderfully, wonderfully read it all through. This was just, thank you for this. This made my day. Spaghetti trees. I'll never forget this one. That's so amazing.
I enjoyed it.
How did you come across this?
In actual fact, I think I was about 8 years old when it happened. Did I say it was 1957? Oh. If it was 1957, then I would have been 8. So I think I saw it, on a black and white TV the size of a box of chocolates, which had only off and on and a volume. That's all you had. Just that. That was it. And I think at the time we only had the one channel anyway. So, you know, weird.
So cool. Wow. Amazing. So, yeah, what an amazing read. Thank you so, so much, Kate, for sharing that with us today. And what are we having up next, Kate?
Well, next we have The Canopy That I Started to Change by Jujub. Jujub. I love that. And I will write this, read this. Oh, my God, woman. I will read this once I can get it open. Canopy That Has Started to Change. I've just got a big ad right in front of it, for goodness sake. Right. The dwelling held on 22 Joseph Street is held on elongated blocks, block gained in depth but not in width. As the timber deck held at the back, 3 steps down from the house, is seen to have an awning on top with chairs and tables laid in place. While the tree held close to the edge is found to have round canopy held on high. When the leaves have started to change in hue from green into orange and red, brown and gold, some say ahead of time. End poem.
Oh, what an amazing, you know, imagery in this. You know, he captured the dwelling held on 22 Joseph Street. It is held on elongated block, gained in depth, but not in width. You know, while the tree held close to the edge is found to have rounded canopy held on high. And I just love his use of color in that last stanza, you know, the leaves changing and, you know, just a beautiful write all the way through. Bravo. And, you know, jujube is actually French for a gummy bear. Gummy bear candies.
Really?
Those are jujubes. Yeah, those are called jujubes in French.
Oh.
So his name in English would be a gummy bear. So, yeah, that's cool. And I wonder if he is. Yeah, I wonder if he does speak French. I don't know, but, you know, I wonder if that's what he really got that from, jujube. And, you know, a lot of men here in Quebec, their nickname, I know a lot of men that their nickname is jujube. We call them jujube. And
really?
I don't know why, but maybe they look like big gummy bears. I don't know. Maybe they're bellies, too.
My mind is going on a different route, which I can't mention before 9 o'clock.
Oh, no, no, Kate.
Exactly. Exactly. I've got to be good to remember where I am.
And what did you think of Jujube's write?
I thought it was so beautiful. It was pretty. I could like the picture looking at the tree, imagining it changing all its colors. I do love trees. Everybody in the world should hug a tree. You hug a tree, you won't hurt people. You'll just feel happy. I am mad. Don't worry about it, but not dangerous. That is just lovely. The timber deck held at the back, 3 steps down from the house. It's so precise. It's so, you know, you are putting yourself here where this writing is taking you. You're at the back of the house, 3 steps down, and it's fine. It's close to the edge. It's the canopy is okay, but then they have the leaves starting to change, and obviously before they normally do. So that's a little nod to climate change, I imagine, at that point. But I thought it was lovely. I love the precision. I love that every detail is given to us. So yes, a lovely write. Thank you so much, Jujube.
Oh, yeah, wonderful, right, indeed. Thank you so much. Wonderful comment there, Kate. And where are you taking us next, Kate?
Well, next we have The Milled Earth. I'm leaving Diane's for the moment in case she manages to phone in.
Yeah. And we have one that was, I think it was Amy's, that was already read on the last show she wrote there. Okay.
Yeah, I recognize that. Yeah, I recognize it when I read it, yeah. So that's so next we have I've already said The Milled Earth by Jakakakaka. I wonder, could you read that for us, please?
Yes. I'll just refresh my page here. Okay, there I go. The Milled Earth. Okay, sun against white paint, side of a house, immaculate hues. Claws grasp edges, Cimmerian gray tints feathers soft as confection, as grains, malt, sugar, sand, curry, cocaine, tingling Pluto, waves weave brazen seas, tincture of egg whites cooked, mullish solar winds pushing, radiated light, that endosphere earth, orbits, spins, tails, rubicant flush of love, the Apollyon of Stygian loss, ingress of the corpse of rose-colored truth, gash, truer, clot, the pinion dress by seeping sunset, angelic. Ah, this is just beautiful. I love his wordplay throughout this. You know, the all the metaphors he found for the different colors, the grains, the malt, sugar, sand, the curry, the cocaine, the, you know, the tingling Pluto, you know, the tincture of the tincture of egg whites cooked. Wow, that is so beautiful. You know, and then he ends with the word angelic. Just a superb, another front page pick here. So deserving. Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful write this is. And what are your thoughts, Kate?
My thoughts are, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I do love the way the colors are brought into poetry so much, though. It makes everything, I don't know, it you can attach yourself to the thought because you can imagine the colors, which, you know, in itself, it might seem very self-explanatory, but I think it really does make such a difference. I might start bringing some color into mine. That sounds very nice. But yes, I thought it was beautifully done. Sorry, I'm getting myself mixed up here. Yes, so thank you very much for allowing us to see that, because we really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, so well written indeed. And where do we go on to next, Kate?
Well, next we have Unknown Feelings, which I thought I'd already picked up, but I think I saved it rather than copied it. But here we are. You have to bear with me, people, because, you know, I am an old lady and I'm doing my best. That's all I've got to say on the matter. And anyway, people like seeing me make a mess of it. I swear they do. So this is Unknown Feelings by Teresa, and I need to put it into the other, into Beverage as well, so if you bear with me a second.
I am always amazed how those address links stay stuck in your finger somehow.
I know. It's just a sin. Here we are. Got it. Oh, no. Come on. Please play the game. No, it's not going to work. Okay. I've got it here somewhere. And I've got it up, I think. Unknown Feelings by Teresa. So I can't read it and put it into it at the same time. So give me a moment, please.
I'll put it in. I just put it in, Kate.
Thank you, Diana. Great. Thanks so much. It's just sometimes when it goes wrong, it just seems to take longer to get it fixed while you're trying to talk. Unknown Feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know exactly what I mean. My mouth is so dry, it's nerves. Here we go. The lava of an outspoken volcano, grief of the unknown harlot, the soul of the unwanted thief, temptation of a lusty stare, the blooming of a flower at sunrise, sounds of screaming banshees, banded in the night, maniac of despair, soiled and pain and grief, a mind so stubborn and cold, I'm a dark hole spewing emotions, standing at the gates of hell, words leaving scars on your heart, a force to be reckoned with. End poem.
Wow. Yeah, this is so well penned, and, you know, very, You know, the metaphors are just amazing. They just like scream at you. You know, this is, you know, there's so much emotion in this poem, the lava of an unspoken volcano. Oh, I just love that line. Wish I would have thought of that. That's just amazing. And, you know, there's so many beautiful lines, you know, the sounds of screaming banshees, banded in the night, maniac of despair. And, you know, yeah, words leaving scars on your heart, a force to be reckoned with, indeed. This is just absolutely magnificent, right, Teresa? Bravo. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there is so much in this. This is raw. This is what this is, raw. This is felt so deeply, which I love, because, you know, when you get emotion coming through, you latch onto it. You think, you know, you think more about it, and you know, why, where, how. It's just, and that's the way it should be. It should make you think. You should not just go, oh, that's nice. You know, you need to be able to say, well, that is amazing. Well, that's kind of the way I feel. It's maybe a lot to do with the way I am, but yes, I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed that. Stroke sad. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for letting us read that.
Oh, yes, indeed. You know, wonderful. Soiled on pain and grief. She doesn't say soiled in pain and grief. She says soiled on pain and grief.
Mm-hmm.
A mind so stubborn and cold. You know, just amazing. She's really seeped into those emotions. And, you know, we feel it. We really, really feel it. Like you said, it's raw, you know, really raw. So thank you, Teresa. And where are we going next, Kate?
Next we have Shedding Virtues by Robert M. Would you care to read that for us, please?
I think we have a SoundCloud,
do we?
Kate.
I didn't see one. I do apologize. Let's have a look. No, I didn't see one.
This is my recital of Shedding Virtues, a poem inspired by the song 46 and 2 by the band Tool. Under the scabs of humanity rests the last vestige of desire, sparkling and pulsing slowly, fading in its death throes. The voracious darkness is salivating in anticipation, its influence exponential and ever evolving. It is poised to devour the shaded indigo. Sometimes losing oneself is pivotal in growth, even if the only thing that grows is the hunger of your own shadow.
Wow. I really enjoy Robert's, you know, deep voice and his dark poetry. You know, it just gets me every time, you know. This is so, you know, is the, you know, even if the only thing that grows is the hunger of your own shadow, you know, all about losing oneself. And as that darkness grows and grows and grows and, you know, overtakes you piece by piece. And, you know, you're just shaken to the core, you know, you're left hollow, I think. This is such an amazing rite. It is poised to devour the shaded indigo, you know, a wonderful, another use of color there. Just a superb dark right here, like Robert can always do them. Amazing, you know, amazing. And a well-deserved gold on that right, for sure. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, first of all, can I just check with you that you don't hear me coughing, that my mute button is working?
Yeah, your mute button is working, my dear.
Thank you. I'm never sure. I just want to make sure. Yes, this, I mean, oh, his voice. You know, let's have a second or two to think about that voice. Wonderful.
I know.
I do like a dark, deep voice. It's wonderful. Yeah, so the voracious darkness is salivating in anticipation. It's poised to devour the shaded indigo. Oh, that's just... I was going to say that's just poetry. But obviously it is, isn't it? Oh, dear me. Yeah, sometimes losing oneself is pivotal in growth. Yeah, 62 words. All of that in 62 words is just... I always enjoy his writing so much. But this totally deserved that gold because it's... Again, it's when you say visceral, but I mean it is you're feeling it, and I like that so much. I've got to go back to it. The voracious darkness is salivating in anticipation. Well, get out of town. That's just brilliant. So thank you, Robert M, for sharing. We really enjoyed hearing your words.
Yeah, I like Kate your comment there on, you know, the emotion, because it's true, the emotion just pours out of this, right? You're right there, you're in the darkness with him. You really feel it seeping through every line of this poem. So you know, wonderfully, brilliantly written. For sure. And where are we going next, Kate?
Sorry, I was on mute. But yes, we have Yeti. Is that right? Yeti by Connolly. It must be right. I see if I've got it in both, and it is, yes. So I'll read this one. Yeti by Connolly. Hang on. Oh, I'd written to the same picture prompt before, and I thought that was mine, and it's not mine. That's why I have hesitation for a second. I thought, oh, okay. Today we saw Betty with her friend Yeti on their way to the village bazaar. His hair was flowing, their scarves were blowing. She was riding in a purple sidecar. She was singing a song as he whistled along, speeding through colourful Cheshire. We tried not to stare at this curious pair, since we knew that he's on a squire. And poem.
Isn't that funny? Oh, wow, I just love the clever lines, the flow to it. You know, the way you read it, Kate, was just amazing. You know, the today we saw Betty with her friend Yeti. right there, you have to smile. Oh, my gracious. You know, and, you know, riding in a purple sidecar, you know, and then off to Cheshire, the way you say it. And, you know, so she brings a little bit of England into it, or, you know, and you know, it makes me think what is that fairy tale? What is that story? Not the fairy tale, but the story there of Alice in Wonderland, the Cheshire Cat. But yeah, what a curious pair indeed. This is just a fun write, you know, so delightful, and so what an amazing write here, and so worthy of gold for sure. So what a wonderful write, Connolly. Thank you so much for giving us the permission to read this today on the show. Made us laugh. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, totally worthy of gold. Absolutely lovely. I mean, it was a beautiful picture to start with, you know. So you're quids in when you can have something like that to work with. I used to actually have a bike and sidecar. I drove a bike and sidecar. And the first one I ever got was purple with silver go faster stripes.
Oh, ludicrous. Cool.
Yeah, ludicrous. Mind you, mine did hold four children, a dog, and two tents. So it was quite a big sidecar. Yeah, but this is just, I loved it. I just love it. The rhyme was just superb. It was, you know, it's good when you can, you know, you don't even half the time you don't hear the rhyme, but it's there. I thought it was lovely. I just, she was singing a song as she whistled along, speeding through colourful Cheshire. Oh dear, that's perfect. Thank you for sharing that with us, allowing us to read it and to make us smile. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you indeed. Where are we going to next, Kate?
Next we have Revving Up the Engine by Cola. Could you read that for us, please?
Yes, Revving Up the Engine by Cola. Revving up the engine, bandana on my forehead, my bike and me, up and running, born to be wild, born to be wild. But somehow Grandma hitched herself to a sidecar. I guess I'll take her for a short ride through the desolate countryside. End poem. Another amazing write. I am guessing that is written to the same prompt. Pam had a contest up with all these writes, these fabulous writes, and I picked out a few of them for today and, you know, asked permission to read them. But, yeah, this is really really cool. Revving up the engine, bandana on my forehead, my bike and me. Kate, I have a question for you. She has wild written like wild, you know, wild like I know, but then she has it written WHYLED, and I do not know the definition of that word. So do you know it?
No, I'm afraid I don't. Born to be, it looks as though wild. It's not going to be the poet wild. I don't know. We must ask. We must ask the question. Cola, could you get back to us, please, and tell us if wild has another connotation that we are not aware of and we would love to know, wouldn't we?
I just looked it up. You know, Google is so... wild, Urban Dictionary. Wild is a handsome, athletic, dreamy boy who all the girls secretly want. He treats his lady like she's an absolute queen and dominates on and off. that's one of the, you know, a person who is wild or undisciplined in character. So,
Sounds very nice.
Yeah. Okay, so sorry for interrupting you. Go on, my dear.
No, that was it, basically. I thought it was wonderful. I have a real weakness for bikes and a real weakness for bike and sidecars. But I just love them because you can go anywhere and make yourself a cup of tea inside your sidecar, which is what I did a lot. I used to take it when I was going fishing. Fabulous. So next we have...
Cool.
Oh, yeah, it was just great. Old men, when they saw me trying to push it out of a parking space when I'd had to go in face first kind of thing. I've got no reverse in a bike and sidecar. You've got no reverse in any most bikes. They would keep on trying to help me. And they look about 100. And I kept saying, it's okay, I can pull it out. It's not heavy. But they overrode and needed it. So it was great fun. It was a good talking point, my bike and sidecar, because it was so unusual. I've got a picture of it. I'll put it up. All right. So next we have Overseas by Hako Pako, our very own Hako Pako. So I will read this. Just give me one moment to get it out there. Overseas. Right. Stewed rain rained on my doorstep, dripping to the hummingbirds that sing in resonance. Empty-bellied as our companions wept, and snowflakes fell inside, icing my lashes. The graveyard concurred. We let dawn stumble into poppies blooming on our palm, took the sweet orange peel, part the drapes of absorbent memories. End poem. Now,
Yeah, what a wonderful write this is. You know, I love this so much. You know, tout de suite, which means right away. in English, stewed tea rained on my doorstep, dripping to the hummingbirds that sing in resonance. Wow. What a beautiful line to start out this poem. This is just fabulous. You know, Adam Harkoporko, aka Harkoporko, or Adam, you know, just has this knack for writing brevity. Anybody wants to hop over to his page and just read him, just amazing. He just has an ease to do it, and he writes it so beautifully. And, this is absolutely amazing. And snowflakes fell inside, icing my lashes. Wow, that's beautiful too. And, you know, beautiful all throughout. What did you think, Kate?
I'm always so happy to see something of Adam's, because you know you're going to get something that will resonate, that will make you think, and sometimes leave you puzzled, because he has that amazing brain that, you know, he sees what I don't see, which I think is wonderful. So, yes, I thought it was lovely. It really is. It's, again, you see, I get a little bit of sadness here coming through, which I don't, you know, I don't want him to be unhappy. Luckily, it's probably nothing to do with that at all, just me reading the wrong thing into it. But I like you, I love thee, and snowflakes fell inside, icing my lashes. That's just very nice, very sweet, very, very interesting. And thank you so much for allowing us to read your poetry.
Oh, and I see with Cress Turset, so maybe he wrote this, maybe this was written with Cress Turset. Yeah, it was a collab. And, you know, Cress Turset, of course, another awesome, awesome poet. And, you know, I can get your it is, you know, a very emotional write. You do feel the sadness seeping through this. So I agree there with your comment there, Kate. And, what a wonderful collab this was. Beautiful, beautiful write from both of them. And what do we have up next, Kate? Oh, Bobby's on with us.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello, my dear. Welcome, welcome. Did you happen to hear the poem?
The last three words.
Well, that's okay. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right.
And what do we have up next, Weaver? Or Kate?
Next we have... It's okay. I like Weaver. I think it gives me a sort of alter ego, which I love. And you know, my handle is Weaver of Dreams, but I do have an alter ego. And her name is Knitter of Nightmares. So when she comes on, be careful. So now we have Time Brought Change by Identity Crisis. And Bobby, would you care? Are you all set up and ready? Would you be able to read this?
Oh, my teeth are in. I'm ready to go.
Mine are at the dentist. So I'm dying for them to come back. Okay, great. Thank
all
you.
All right. Time brought change. I was blinded by the light, in the darkness alone to fight the demons I was unable to see, lost unknowing what would be. Delusions ate my core. Lies tore my barren flesh. Hate engraved an open door, a body of ripped up mesh. Change then came into my sight, shredding the bad as I saw the right. My soul escaped and I was free, knowing now what would come to be. I rid shadows of delusions. No longer was I lost and alone, creating positive conclusions, finding I was never on my own. End poem.
Oh, what an amazing write there, read, Bobby. And an amazing write by Identity Crisis here. And, you know, that the name fits it so well to this poem, Identity Crisis, because, you know, this is a poem about her, you know, coming out of those shadows, you know, the darkness, coming out of the darkness into the, you know, into, getting rid, of those shadows of delusions, as she says. No longer was I lost and alone, creating positive conclusions, finding I wasn't ever on my own. And, you know, that's so important sometimes, you know, when you're just, you know, to know that people are around for you, to have those people around. And, but, you know, you're always accompanied by your shadow, so you're never really alone. But, you know, amazingly well written. You know, you feel the emotion pouring through this right here. And well-deserved bronze medal for sure. And Kate, your thoughts.
Yes, there's an awful lot of angst in this, but it looks like there was a, you know, there was a point where she could step out of the darkness, which is always nice to see a nice conclusion. But I particularly love that first stanza. I was blinded by the light, in darkness alone to fight the demons I was unable to see, lost unknowingly, unknowing what would be. That just, you know, that gives you, that sets you all up, doesn't it? You know where you're going from there. But some of these phrases, a body of ripped up mesh, oh, that's just horrifying. But yes, I really enjoyed it. I thought, again, you see, there is that deep emotion that makes everything sparkle and jump out at you. And I thought it was beautifully, beautifully written. The Identity Crisis, thank you for letting us read your poetry.
Oh, thank you so much. Awesome comment there, Kate. And Bobby, what did you think of that wonderful write that you just read?
Well, I was looking at the stimulus, which was a contest by Pam Ray, and she gives some song lyrics. Identity Crisis borrows from some of the song lyrics and does a beautiful job of weaving them in with her own thoughts, and does a great job of interpreting the contest poetry. I like the way she's taken it and gave it a very positive spin at the end. I rid my shadows of delusions. No longer was I lost and alone, creating positive conclusions, finding I was never on my own. And it has a very, very ending, very, very positive, very uplifting.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome comment there, Bobby. Thank you so much, Identity Crisis, for sharing this with us today. Amazing, amazing written brevity here. And Kate, where are we off to next, my dear?
Well, next we have a piece of poetry that I think I might have the perfect person to read it, unless there's a SoundCloud. I just wanted to say, first of all, though, Naomi,
yeah,
if Christmas smells, why not get an air freshener? That's just a joke. Ignore me.
I don't see it. I don't see. I have to refresh my page. I don't see that.
Yeah.
Well, it's an air freshener.
Yeah, and that does have a SoundCloud, and watch out because I sing.
Oh, lovely. Cool, go for it.
Christmas off, Christmas off now, as Grandpa sings and Grandma swings, choking and croaking in water-eyed wings. As Grandma's feet start to sing,
oh,
Christmas harp, Christmas harp smells. As Uncle Joe springs and twists and drinks, dancing and prancing on turkey and gin. As we widely grin, what a wild night, smelly all right. to hug and kiss away. Oh, what a sight, oh, what a fright, to see Uncle Joe coming to squeeze me tight. Giddy up, dear, don't trip or your feet move out real fast. Mix and mingle in a jingle and flee, 'cause that fart was not his last.
So I'll leave you, Kate. On it.
That was so cute. Oh my goodness. Oh, Christmas definitely doesn't smell. That's beautiful. How clever. I liked it very much. And you must sing again. I'll accompany you on the what? I don't play anything. Okay. The common tissue paper. Or the gazoo. The gazoo's good. That was lovely. Thank you so much. It's brought Christmas back again. Beautiful. Thank you.
And Bobby, your thoughts?
That was reverent. But I had no idea I had a fine singing voice. You must treat us to another course of something else some other time.
I agree. Bravo.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. You know, making a parody to that song. For sure.
I've done a couple of song parodies, and they are fun.
Yeah, so much so.
Yeah, I
thank Rex and Pam for that contest. You know, that just inspired me to write this. It was so fun. Had a real delight to write it. And so, Kate, where are we going next, my dear?
Next, we have Coveted in His Gentleness by Liu Wild Dove. So I will read this if you don't mind. Right, here we go. Picked silvered notes, chronicle footprints of edges, waters, burial perch songsters, emerald jeweled tipped leaves, lay memories, bosom, sweetened meadow scented glaze, desires the clasp of a stag horns, awaiting storm's expiration. Beside smoke fill fire shaped his flames, parting woods, shores of salted tears, seas flood lonely eyes, fingers trace night's draping hair, fingers fondle golden antlers, garnered glowing gentle moonlight, rejuvenates, fastens Eros appetite, whispering his summons, exhales. End poem.
Ah, yeah, this is just so beautiful. You know, like Lou, you can write poetry. My gracious, you know, such a beautiful write to that prompt. So spiritual all through. And, waiting storms, expiration, beside smoked fires, shaped his flames, parting woods, shores of salted tears, seas, flood, lonely eyes. You just feel all the emotion pour through this, right? Just captured that, like I said, that prompt so beautifully. So, and wow, what a wonderful write. You know, she what a wonderful mind Liu has for when it comes to writing poetry. Just a fabulous. And Bobby, what did you think of that write?
A wonderful atmospherics, awaiting storm's expiration, sweetened meadow-scented glaze, besides smoked fires, shapes his flames, parting woods, shores of salted tears, a lot of texture, a lot of visual imagery, very evocative. It paints a beautiful word picture. Very spiritual.
Oh, indeed. Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome comment there, Bobby. And Kate, your thoughts? Hello, Kate? Are you mutating?
Probably.
Or did we lose her? Did we lose Kate?
Oh, no.
Oh. Oh, whoops. Okay. Okay. Get to work, Naomi.
I see. Carry on regardless. I'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah, she's clean. She left. Get back in.
Okay. So I'm going to have to hurry up here and catch this next phone. Okay, where was she? Let's see. Luyu. Okay, so the next poem we'll have up will be by Darkened Auris. I'm going to pop that in there as soon as I find the room. And Bobby, if you can go ahead and give that a read for us as soon as you see it appear.
All righty. We have the little old Bigfoot in Pasadena. Wonder where this one's going. Oh, it's quite the illustration top here. The little old Bigfoot's in Pasadena. The little old lady from Pasadena found the love of her life. Bigfoot, who had a lead foot, now they are husband and wife. She now blind as a bat, and she calls him Chewy. People around town, they're both screwy. They still fly down the highway in a motorcycle and sidecar, tempting drivers to race them from both near and far. End of poem.
That's so cute. Such great imagination. Little old lady from Pasadena found the love of her life, Bigfoot, who had a lead foot. Now they are husband and wife, and she calls him Chewy. And the people in town that think they're screwy. Oh, yeah, this is so amazing. Oh, wow, what a wonderful imagination, Dark and Doris. Just a clever, clever, witty piece. So delightful. What did you think, Bobby?
Did you see the illustration? It's got
big Yeah.
It's almost a wonderful children's poem.
It is, yeah.
It would be fun for a children's poem.
Indeed.
It's a fun read. It's very imaginative, very lighthearted and whimsical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is I would have liked to, this is another contest Pam had up, a prompt from Pam, and we've had so far a couple of writes from that prompt this afternoon, which were all equally so funny, but this one's really fun, really got me giggling. So thank you so much, Dark and Doris. Yes, Bobby?
No, I said it's very cute.
Yeah, indeed. So, Kate, are you back?
Writing humorous poetry, though. There's a real gift for it.
Yeah, I know, and especially, when you make it rhyme, it brings out all the funny in it, I think.
Yeah. It'll make it whimsical and lighthearted.
Yeah, indeed. We were having that discussion on a show we're doing with Pam, and how funny prompts bring out the rhyme in poems, and we're having that discussion. So we have our next write up, which is cicatrice, which is scars in English. So cicatrice, these whispers, this is from Femora, the soul weaver. So these whispers echo, reflecting the cicatrice from our past. Like a mirror, it is haunting me with nightmares that crept from the deepest reveries within my cavernous psyche. Fear clutches my quintessence with thoughts of losing you once more. And within my petrified dejection, hopelessness begins to swallow me like a snake devours a mouse. The shadows have come onto us again. End poem. Oh, wow. What a, you know, amazing dark right this is. You know, the night with nightmares that crept from the deepest reveries within my cavernous psyche. Fear clutches my quintessence essence with thoughts of losing you once more. Just an amazing brevity, you know, that so much packed into this short brevity. What did you think, Bobby?
Very dark, very despondent, almost mournful and melancholy. And an interesting use of words, because cicatrice is not a common word, but it's the scar of a healed wound, or the scar mm-hmm. on the bark of a tree, which is interesting. I actually remember hearing it in a film also, the use as a name, but. This is a very, very somber rite, but it definitely conveys a very dark, a dark attitude, and the visual imagery is quite vivid.
Oh, indeed, yeah, it says a lot. Just the title, I get this. Is that actually, Bobby, I don't know if you know, is that actually an English word too?
Cicatriz? I thought it was Spanish, but I'm looking for the origin of it, and I don't.
Well, it's French.
It's French?
Cicatriz is French, yeah. French
I'm
for scar?
Yes. Yeah. It's,
But I was wondering if it was accepted in English or not, maybe not.
Yeah, it's actually, the meaning of it is the scar of a healed wound.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Or something like you'd say a keloid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which sounds, yeah. I understand why she went with the cicatrice. Mm-hmm. Sounds, so much better than the other one. But yeah, what a deep, profound rite and a very powerful rite by Femora, the Soul Weaver here. So thank you so, so much, Soul Weaver, for writing for us.
It's Latin and it's Middle English and Old French.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but we use it all the time, you know, cicatrice,
yes.
We say that. Yeah, in French.
It's also,
mm-hmm.
it says in botany, it is a mark on a stem left after a leaf or other part has become detached. So interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay. Yeah, learn things. I love learning new things. We all do,
too.
I think, here on All Poetry, all readers, and we love learning new things. And, so I have our next poem up by Casey Day. Kate, are you back? I guess she isn't. So, Bobby, if you can give that a read for us.
Certainly. Okay, let me summon this. And we have... Spicy. Undress Me by Casey Day. I'm in love.
the kind of love that burns the skin right from your bones, makes you ache, and kisses you in a hidden place. I promised. I promise I'll break myself a little more. I slip into old habits, kind of habits that leave you at glass-shattered rock bottom, licking cheap liquor off the floor, scattered like the pieces of who you were before. She's a whore. She's a whore. She's a whore. End of poem.
Wow. This is very raw, very visceral, very, amazing, amazing writing. I'll let you comment first, Bobby, if you don't mind. I'm looking up poems.
Visceral is a good way to describe it. And it has an interesting cadence to it. It has an internal rhyme. I slip into old habits, the kind of habits that leave you a glass-shattered rock bottom, licking cheap liquor off the floor, scattered like the pieces of who you were before. She's a whore. That's a very clever writing. It just slipped into that internal rhyming scheme. And you've got it. I promise I'll break myself a little more. And it's, again, you've got the rhyming pattern. But this is a very, for a brevity, is very powerful. It's really very, a very skillful writing.
Yeah, it is indeed, and her formatting is really interesting, too. I don't know, the shape of a person with outstretched arms, I wonder, or just somebody, the stretched out on the floor, maybe. But just an amazing write. Like you said, the rhyme and the repetition. Wow, she's a whore, she's a whore, she's a whore. I just, that line, licking cheap liquor off the floor, scattered like the pieces of who you were before. Wow. That's hard hitting right there. Just a very powerful poem indeed. Amazing writing, Casey Day. But she's such a talented writer. I just love her writes every time. And I have our next write up, which is Kiss Me by Betty Page. And this is Kiss Me at Midnight. Come on, just kiss me. It's midnight. So grab me swift, hold me in your arms. Gaze into my eyes intensely, intimately. Press your lips in mine. Sweetie, you're divine, sipping upon my bubbly, so fine as champagne. Dance with me real slow. Confetti cascading high, colorful rainbows. Sing to me our song. I'm so smitten by your soul. Adrenaline rush. My heart races fast, pounding right out of my chest. I'm feeling so shy. Your smile, I blush. You smile, I blush. Happy we kissed in public. First one of the year. Kiss me once again. So the world knows I love you. You're so amazing. End poem. And this is the written to the new year, first kiss of new year. So this is just amazing. I just love sipping upon my bubbly so fine as champagne there, and a dance with me real slow, confetti cascading high, colorful rainbows. Betty has a way of writing, it's like these little tresset, stanzas, little poems, mini poems, all strung together, really unique.
Yeah. If you look at
characteristically does a Senryu chain. Because if you look at it, it's 5, 7, 5.
Mm-hmm.
And she,
yes.
She does it. And she, it's like she, I've done this with, a couple of years ago, I did a series of poems about my grandmother, and I did the same structure, and it's like you're challenging yourself to say more with less, and to keep it confined and very, very dense, and very succinct. And it's a challenge to write that way, but once you do get it, your mind in the groove, what you can usually turn out is quite good. And
mm-hmm.
she always does.
Oh, yeah.
She's refined the structure. Her work fits into it so beautifully.
Oh yeah, indeed, she has that art down perfectly. You know, she's just amazing what she can come up with. You know, very, very vivid and intelligent, you know, way of writing, and a great, great imagination Betty has. So thank you so much, Betty, for sharing that today. And I have our next poem up, Bobby, whenever you get a chance, whenever you see it there. Just read it.
Okay, we have Till Death, My Darling. Cram hand warmers down my white dress. Your mom sewed me a short hemline with daisy lace to trace a 9.5-year timeline. Chest beating fast in February's frozen forest, too cold to breathe, but our feet are okay. Pink velvet heels next to embroidered floors, dirt, fairy lights, and foldable chairs bear witness, and the cold, two earth signs, and one pair of brown eyes beneath my brother's driftwood arch. Signed the papers wearing high-waisted jeans in the lobby of our apartment building. End poem.
Wow. You know, this is just amazing. I cram hand warmers down my white dress. My mom sewed me a short hemline with daisy lace, straight a 9.5-year timeline, chest beating fast in February, frozen forest. You know, this is, the way it's written out, I just loved it. I just drifted into the whole piece. You know, very well deserved. You know, beautifully crafted piece. Very well deserved. You know, front page pick. And you know, this is the epitome, I think you say in English, of economy writing. You
yeah.
know, this is, every word counts here.
Yeah.
Just, you know, amazing. What did you think,
yeah.
Bobby?
Yeah, the epitome of it is
epitome.
It's a very economical write. I agree. It's very dense, but very descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
Too cold to breathe, but our feet are okay. Pink velvet heels next to embroidered florals, dirt, fairy lights, and foldable chairs. Interesting line. bear witness and the cold, two earth signs, and one pair of brown eyes beneath my brother's driftwood arch. You could see from what's said that this was a very home-crafted occasion. My mom sewed me a short hemline with daisy lace. I crammed hand warmers down my white dress. So this was very homespun, and you can tell that just from the way everything is described. So very earthy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, amazing, amazing observation there, Bobby. And, you know, the wonderful, wonderful imagery and descriptions throughout this piece. And I don't know this poet. Red Candy is Death. Wow, wonderful writing here. And, you know, I hope, you know, I get to read more of her because
there's only about, I've gone to their page, they've only got 67 pieces out there. So they're fairly new.
Okay.
We've got a new poet there.
Wow, amazing new poet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they keep on talking, Bobby, because I'm looking for the next poem.
Well, I got my hat and my cane. I'll do a little dance. You know,
oh, boy. Okay, and we Kate says... Oh, Kate says her laptop did a reset out of nowhere, so she's trying to get back on. Oh, poor her. I just hate that when that happens. Oh boy.
God.
So I got the next poem up, and this is by Crystal Hope, Glacier Bed of Roses. Red flannel coat buttoned around her hips, and her suede boots crunched in the snow. Snowflakes kissed the rose petals of her cheek with a fluttering beam of glimmering glow. Black leggings soaked from the icy bench, frozen with boards of pollen hickory. Slippery cobblestones glistening with milk shaking off branches brittle and splintery. Marshmallow snowmen smile at her face, and licorice coals and orange carrot noses. Puddles of raspberry tulips melt with dewdrops, knitting the fibers in a glacier bed of roses. Oh, wow. What a beautiful poem full of, you know, brevity, full of amazing imagery here. I just love the marshmallow snowman smiling in her face with licorice coal and orange carrot noses. But, you know, that last puddles of raspberry tulips melt with dewdrops, knitting the fibers in a glacier bed of roses. But all through, this is amazing, amazing imagery. You know, throughout by Crystal Hope here. Amazing, amazing writing by Crystal. What did you think, Bobby?
I like the visual imagery. Very, very well described. Red flannel coat buttoned around her hips as her suede boots crunch in the snow. Snowflakes kiss the rose petals of her cheeks with a fluttering beam of glimmering glow. You've got a nice internal rhyme here. You've got great visual imagery, black leggings soaked from the icy bench, slippery cobblestones glistening with milk, shaking off branches and brittle, splintery marshmallow snowmen. This is a beautifully painted word picture. You've got a lot going on in here and just a very few words. Again, an economical write written with a great deal of visual imagery.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Beautiful, beautiful life. And I have our next poem up. It's by Shinasky, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one.
Woo-hoo!
Crystalline ornaments and urgent seeds, quenching hungry, loosely wrapped, wind-thrown hair, cotton clouds hovering gently against skin, white caps, ocean blue, caressing abandon inside aquatic coffins. Crystal bells break bow, fins breed misty pagodas. Crystallized hovering host through snow. Lonely D's, lonely eye, clouds gray, Chinese reindeer, sleek through sky.
Oh, wow. You know, what a wonderful poem this is. You know, I really loved Lonely These, Lonely I, Clothes, Clouds, Gray, Chinese Reindeer, Sleek Through Sky. You know, he does a wonderful way of writing, Chinaski does. You know, so much beautiful imagery throughout this. You know, he says in his AM, representing my mood currently. You know, so yeah, just a reflection of that mood he was in. And you feel that. You feel that this certain, like, emotion flowing out of this, you know, this, I don't know, loneliness or, you know, kind of, I don't know, for nostalgia, maybe. I don't, you know, you just feel the kind of a longing, I don't know, seeping from this right. It's just catches you. Anyway, it caught me, you know, right in the gut. What did you think, Bobby?
Paints a beautiful word picture of a very frozen, a very frigid environment. The picture and also the accompanying picture at the bottom with the very pale yellow-blue, or I'm sorry, pink-blue figure with the ice around her and the reindeer behind her. And it was very ethereal, very surreal, but at the same time almost, and very fragile. Almost if you reached out and touched it, it would shatter.
Exactly. Bobby, you had a write on here, right? Trying to find it. Oh, yeah. Okay, there it is. There it is. Got it? Okay. And I'm going to slip that in.
Okay.
So whenever you see it, my dear, you can give that
okay.
a read for us. Okay.
Kate's back just in time.
Yeah.
This was,
okay.
I surprised myself with this one. It was far more abstract than I expected it to be, but I just let it come tumbling out of my pen. And this is what, and the prompt was a picture, and it was a contest by Lynn Gauthier. And
okay,
when I looked
yeah.
at the, Yeah. But when I looked at this, illustration, this is what I ended up with. So, it pulled me in two different directions. So I let it. Cider satin moon. Is the moon a soft, warm satin pillow perched on a tapestry covered autumn night among woolly clouds stitched to the earth at the edges of the sky? Or is it a sharp, cold, crystal clear glass of golden, keen-edged, hard cider, burning its ruthless, razor-sharp, razor-bright path down a lover's parched throat? Does the fool dance in the creamy, seductive billows of a lover's arms, or drown alone in the pitiless, shallow pools of their reflected yearning? End poem.
Wow. This just poured out.
Yeah.
Oh, my gracious. Oh, my. I'm not a poet. I'm not a poet. This could never just pour out of me. This is amazing, Bobby. And Kate is back with us, so I'm going to let her. Hi, Kate. Yeah, I'm going to let you go first and comment on Bobby's poem, Kate.
Thank you. I'd be very pleased to. I'm sorry about that delay. Everything went skew.
Oh, technology.
It hates me. Okay, thank you. Calm down, woman. Cider satin moon. Oh, Bobby, this is beautiful. An outpouring of absolute delight. I love it. Is the moon a soft, warm satin pillow? You'd love it to be, wouldn't you? Perched on a tapestry coverlet autumn night. I love that. Among woolly clouds stitched to the earth or the edges of the sky. Yeah, exactly. wonderful. And it's got a cloud, or it's got a moustache. I'm not sure which. Does the fool dance in the creamy, seductive billows of a lover's arms, or drown alone in the pitiless, shallow pools of their reflected yearning? That's just beautiful. It really is. I love it. I don't know how you do it. So cool. Does the fool dance in the creamy, seductive billows of a lover's arms? Oh, yes, please. I'll have some of that. I loved it. I thought it was very, very sweet. Sweet and lovely and I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, Bobby, this is just amazing. I just love this. So many lines in here. The questions you ask. The perched on a tapestry coverlet autumn night among woolly clouds stitched to the earth at the edge of the sky. Or is it a sharp, cold, crystal clear glass of golden, keen-edged, a hard cider burning its ruthless razor-bright path down a lover's parched throat? I just love how you took the picture and, you let your imagination soar so wonderfully, so cleverly and such wit shown throughout this poem. So many questions that are very thought-provoking. And, I like how you show the moon in so many different ways here, and the interpretations you can get out of gazing at the moon. When I look at the moon tonight, I'm going to think of your poem. This is just wonderful. I just loved it, Bobby.
it took me in two different directions. When I looked at the picture, it looked like a tapestry to me. But then when I stared at the golden orb, it reminded me of a glass of cider. And so I let both things coexist, thinking it could either, you could see, it's like, what do you see in this picture? Do you see an old woman, or do you see an old hag or a woman wearing a feather hat? It's one of those things where you can look at it and see two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly where I went with this. Yeah, so that's,
yeah.
And then I thought to myself, so, if you see the first thing, you foolishly dance with you dance in the lover's arms, or if you see the second thing, do you drown alone in the reflected pools of pitiless yearning, and so I was surprised at how abstract it turned out, but I was very happy with it.
Oh yeah, amazing. And amazing. So thank you so, so much for sharing that with us, Bobby, today. And, and thank you again for being, for joining us on the show. I said you were there. Thank you so much. I see, Weaver, you picked up where I left off. So
uh-huh.
What do we have up next, Kate?
Next we have Intermission by Debashish Burma, India. And I will read this one, if you don't mind. Oh, yes, this is good. Intermission. Read me between the lines. Explore my dreams when I fall asleep. Hear my words in silence, memories in my mind. Find me there sitting on the couch, watching the talk from the newsroom. I stalk with coffee in hand. I analyze the words without any flip-flop, ending all the work, all the duties of the day. The sun goes for a dip in the western bay, opens up the sky for visual delight, with moon and stars which rise up every night. I behold the sight of a moving light that might be a distant light. The Great Bear and Orion locate amidst a place that is thinly bright. I stand there to extend my hands with care, to welcome all in my cozy lair. Try to focus far through the telescope elsewhere, but no one comes from anywhere. Nobody raises one head to stare. Everybody is on the run from nowhere to somewhere. Maybe Ledger has fled from the pitch of regular warfare. You may find it encoffined in the glossary and kept securely in the Museum of Glory. End poem.
Yeah, this is a really amazing. I really love this poem, you know, called Intermission. You know, we can just picture him there, you know, probably in the evening, just taking a break there, just walking, find me, you know, just sitting on that couch watching the talk from the newsroom, with a coffee in his hand. I just love, you know, just the way the whole piece dances down the page. It's just so nonchalant in a way, you know, and it reflects, the state of mind that he's in. But then the questions that come in at the end, you know, of the world in a frenzy that doesn't take the time to stop for a while, I think. What do you think, Bobby, of this piece? Hello, Bobby?
I think Bobby may be away. She's having a bit of a cough. She's got to get some water.
Oh, okay. So what do you think, Kate?
I thought it was absolutely lovely. I can see what he means by intermission. You know, basically, it's not until the ads come on that we kind of detach ourselves from that little thing in the corner that everybody looks at. Possibly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
Yeah, and true, intermission in English means, des pauses en français there means intermission between, when you're listening to a show on TV, you have the intermissions. Oh, yeah,
yes.
I just caught that. So
yeah,
clever.
Just like we have here, we have ad breaks, and so people, mm-hmm. you know, they'll go make a cup of tea or whatever between the ad break. So that's kind of what made me think of it. So nobody raises their head to stare at anything. They're just completely caught by this machine in the corner giving them an aspect of life they know nothing about. But I could be wrong, but I just thought that's kind of how it hit me. I thought it was brilliantly written. And so I have to say thank you so much for letting us see your work. Zabushish, lovely name. I love your name. So back to you, my dear.
Yeah, now that I caught that, wow, this is a really, I analyzed the words without any flip-flop, ending all the work, all the duties of the day. He's really in that intermission, state of mind there. And then he raises the questions. Nobody raises one head to stare. Everybody is on the run from nowhere to somewhere. Maybe Leisure has fled from the pitch of regular warfare. Just such an amazing, you know, well-deserved front page pick for sure. This is really brings up all kinds of questions, you know, on, you know, our existence, you know, the existence of life. You know, we don't take enough of those intermissions in our life today, unless you're like older like me and you're retired. Then you have a lot of time to think. But even then, you know, depends on days, depends on life, you know. Sometimes life catches up with you, but yeah, it's important to take those times. And Bobby, are you back with us?
Yes.
Did you get a chance to read the poem?
Ever so quickly, very existential. Like you said, it points out we need to pause in our lives.
and ponder what's around us. We go rushing headlong through our lives. We miss too much. So intermission is a very good title for that.
Oh, indeed. It is. Great observation, great comment there, Bobby, both of you, you and Kate. And what will be our next poem, Kate? Hello, Kate?
Sorry, I'm so sorry, I do apologize. I was on mute. Oh, sorry. Oh, no panic,
well,
don't panic.
That's better than being on with off. I'll take that.
I was saying when it disappeared, I was saying, hello, is everybody gone? What's happening? I didn't realize it was me that was gone. And you were random. You were just going on with it. I'm going, hello, hello. We're back. We're back and we're buzzing. Okay, this one we've got coming up now is Live by Random Scribbler. And I will give this a read if you give me a moment just to get it. When I say a moment, I might mean a little time. Oh, here we are. So it's Liv, Random Scribbler. Darling me, if things will fall in place, then they will fall in place, else they will go away. One can only endeavor so much, rest is destiny. Hope for the best, one can do no more about it. One goes through rough patches and then takes smooth rides, so on, so forth. Nothing stays forever, everything comes and goes, believe you me. So take life as it is, really. It's too short to crib, complain, cry. Enjoy what good it gives. Live while you can, for you never know, tomorrow you might die. End poem.
I have to laugh at that. That's so true. But, you know, the way she finishes that off, you know, live while you can, for you never know, tomorrow you might die. And, you know, that is so true. You never know what's right just around the corner. You know, you never know what's going to happen. So this is such great words of wisdom, you know, throughout this piece here. And wonderfully well written, you know, straightforward. And, you know, what a great message. What did you think, Bobby?
She's right. Tomorrow is promised to no one. And it's funny how life throws lessons at you. That it's so odd. My dad, he was going to wait until he was turned 65. To start drawing his Social Security. He turned 65, drew 3 checks, and died.
But, no.
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes. And when I came to, when it came close to me becoming 65, I thought, I am not waiting. And the same with my partner. We're sitting on the bed one evening talking about where we're going on vacation the next time. And the next morning, I wake up next to an inert object. He's gone.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow.
But, you know,
sweetie.
It teaches you that you cannot, you know, tomorrow is promised to no one. And you have to seize the opportunity because you don't know if opportunity is going to knock again. So to ignore opportunities to me is just that's why I hate the phrase killing time. It's a bloodless crime, but it's a crime all the same. And why kill time? Time is a gift. You know, you squander it if you kill it. And it teaches you to that everything, every day is precious. I look around me and I'll tell you what, you know what a real truth tell is? You think to yourself, if I died tomorrow and someone had to come in and look at my house the way it is now, would I be embarrassed?
I would.
Yeah, see, and I go, oh, my God, I'm ready. And I start cleaning.
Good.
Would I be embarrassed if there's 50 sweaters folded on my dresser? And I immediately start putting things away.
Yeah.
I'm curious. You know, because we think to ourselves we're going to be around, but you never know when all of a sudden, you know, your library card's gonna get punched, and that's it.
So true. So very true.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kate?
Well, I love this because it's my favorite thing. I once wrote a poem about calling myself the queen of cliches. And, you know, I didn't think it was a crime. And this is exactly what I was talking about. There are so many cliches in this. It's wonderful. If you read it through, one goes through rough patches and then takes smooth rides. Life is too short to crib or complain. If things will fall in place, then they'll fall in place. I just love it. That's my kind of writing when it comes to tongue-in-cheek. I just thought it was incredibly clever. So I think I'm going to have to call, I'm sorry, wait, give me a moment. I think I'm going to have to call Random Scribbler the new queen of cliche, because she's done it so well. So she could be my consort. You'll be my consort, Random Scribbler. But I thought it was excellent. And thank you so much for allowing us to read that today.
Oh, yeah, indeed. You know, the very, very thought-provoking piece. And, you know, so true what all that Bobby said. You know, you really have to, you know, not kill time, but take time as a gift. And, you know, and so well said there, Bobby. An awesome comment there. And, Kate, where are we going next, my dear?
Well, next we have... glancing down to make sure she's still not on mute. That's good. Now we've got... sorry, there was an error adding your group message. I don't need that. How dare you? What the heck? It wasn't for bad luck. I'd have no luck at all. Hang on a sec. I'll do that again. Jeez. I don't know. Well, that's not it. okay. I will be...
Breathe.
Ah, dear. Okay. Yes, I thought I had it and I didn't. A Random Scribbler, Art of Love, that's what I'm looking for. Yes, talking about savoring every moment, I spent 10 years unable to walk, and then I got a back operation. And a year and a half, I know, a year and a half later, I mean, I've had this bad back for 30 years. But it was only recently, I had the operation in 2016, and it only happened because I insisted that they had a look at my back, and they found that there was a spore of bone had been growing all those years and was now pressing constantly on my sciatic nerve and giving me lots of jip. And so I had it, and then a year and a half later, that was 2017, my legs went and I could no longer walk. And I've been fighting them all the time, telling them that there was a problem. So they've had another look, and it looks like my spine's crumbling, and that's the problem. So at the moment, I'm stuck in the house again since 2017. So I will grasp every moment. I will never be bored. I will never. That's why sometimes I may seem a bit OTT. It's just that I'm thinking, ah, what the heck? You know, you're a long time gone. Grasp the moment. And I have to grasp the moment.
I have to grasp some wheels onto you.
That would be fabulous. I'd love that. I put the Art of Love up twice, by the way, just because I've been talking too much. The next one is the Art of Love. And Bobby, would you like to read this for us?
As soon as I swallow my mouthful of brioche. I made brioche last night.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, it turned out fabulous.
Oh, it sounds
just beautiful.
I'm coming to your house.
Oh, beautiful 2-pound loaf of brioche, 4 eggs, a cup of butter. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. The Art of Love. If love didn't exist, poets would have invented it, for that is the inspiration on by which we live with earnest desire to reveal what's within us, our yearning. Master the art of love derived from the divine inner power inside the heart that sings for life and mourns for death. We are created out of nothing to become everything
until our time comes and our bodies turn to dust. From ashes we will arise. Enter the infinite light, traveling into love eternal, loving love. End poem.
Wow, what a deep poem. So, beautifully expressed here throughout, the essence of life, of living, love is, if love didn't exist, like she says, poets would have invented it. Yeah, for sure. Because we write a lot about love. We sure do. Losing love, wanting love, longing for it, lusting, the erotism of it. Love is at the center of, a lot of my poems. I just love the voice inside the heart that sings for life, mourns for death. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, this is beautiful. It's very deeply philosophical, very existential. I find that our Indian poets are very gifted in that area. They are able to plumb deeply into the philosophy of life and put it on paper with such great skill. And we are created out of nothing to become everything until our time comes and our bodies turn to dust. From ashes we arise to the eternal light. It's just a beautiful, spiritual piece, very positive. And the picture at the top is just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, very, very spiritual. And yeah, like you said too, our Indian poets are very, very philosophical and very, very deep in their writing, I find a lot. And Kate, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes. It really is so deep and so meaningful. And you see, you say you write a lot about love. That's why you're such a sweet person. Where I write about demons and vampires and things that go bump in the night. So that would explain my personality. But I've got a little bit of love in there somewhere. A little bit of humor. And everybody has. But I thought the last stanza was just so... we are created out of nothing to become everything. Until our time comes and our bodies turn to dust. From ashes we will arise. Yeah, you see, we will arise from the ashes like Phoenix. I believe, I would like to believe in reincarnation, in as much as it's the only thing that makes any sense to me, because if you've done something that you shouldn't have done in one life, you can atone for it in another. And like a very rough diamond, each reincarnation polishes another facet and you learn. Which, to me, that's just my philosophy. It's probably a little bit hokey, but it makes sense to me more than anything else does. So this is just lovely. Energy never dies. It travels on into love eternal, loving love. So I have to say thank you so much for listening to that. As I may, it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, amazing. Here in Quebec, I don't know about other parts of the world, but, when they bury you, when you die, you have the choice now in the funeral parlors to be mixed in with like a tree seeds, your ashes. And so you grow like a tree grows. So you can choose what kind of tree you want to be after your death. Like, I don't know, they have a variety of different trees. And, the people plant you in the ground, and then you grow into this tree. And I think that is wonderful. That is the way I want to go when I die. But I don't know if they have that option in other places.
Actually, you'd be amazed at the options you have now. to dispose of cremated remains. You can have them pressed into a diamond. You can have them fused into art glass. You can have them introduced into tattoo ink. You can have them put into the pyrotechnics for a fireworks. You can go up and explode in the air. You can be put in into the ground with a tree, which I also like. And here's the option I chose for my partner. When he was a he was younger, he was a Sea Scout. He loved deep sea fishing. He loved he loved sailing. And so I have discovered a firm called Eternal Reefs. They're out of Florida. And what they do is they take the cremated remains. And in a three-day process, you go to their site. You put the remains in with concrete and whatever kind of mementos you want to put in. It looks like a muffin. It looks like a concrete muffin. They call it a blossom. And then the next day, they take that blossom and they put it into what looks like a concrete wiffle ball. And the third day, the whole affair is loaded onto a ship, a boat, and they take you out and they place it in the water. And what they're doing is they're creating artificial reefs.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yep,
so cool.
So I'm on Tony's on the, I just discovered them. Tony's on the list for next year. So I'm going to do that with his remains next year. Yeah. So there are an amazing array of things you can do with cremated remains. It's just and I'm going to go the Rose Garden tree affair. You know, I like the idea of, you know, let's give something back.
Yeah, I want to live. Even if it is through a tree, you know, I want to. I don't know. I want to be something alive, I think.
Well, give back for all that you took to the earth, you get to give back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Kate, did you comment on this piece yet? I forget.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Okay. Did you, Bobby? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes, you did. Okay, so we're on to the next piece. I guess,
Yeah. So this one, we have
Amy's,
the time of day. Would you like to read this, Naomi?
Okay, the time of day by A.R. Mundell. Purpose likes to pass me by. We nod our heads, good day. They'll chat and linger for a while, and then they'll go their way. I asked them once about it, when I asked if they might stay, but they just looked right through me and said, I've nothing much to say. End poem. Oh, wow, I just loved reading this. This is so beautiful. You know, the way that she personifies, you know, that those times of the day, you know, the day that passes by, time that's passing by. I just love this. This is so witty. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, I very much enjoy Amy's writing. She's a brilliant poet. This is one of my first treats into her brevities. This is really quite clever. Likes to pass me by. We nod our heads good day. They'll chat and linger for a while, and then they'll go away. You really, this is a very, actually, a deceptively cerebral brevity.
Mm-hmm.
You can't simply skim over this. You have to really focus on what she's saying. Purpose likes to pass me by. We nod our heads, good day. And I asked them once about it, but when I asked if they might stay, but they looked right through me and said, I've not much to say. You really have to think about this poem. There's a lot being said here, sub rosa. And so this is, matter of fact, I'm going to take this one and I'm going to tuck it into my favorites because I think this is bloody brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
You want to see something impressive, seriously. The contest that I'm holding right now, Amy just submitted last night her entry for the contest. And you know me, I go batshit crazy when it comes to prompts. She wrote a piece that uses every one of the damn prompts.
No.
Wow.
You've got to read it. You've got to read it. It is just, I read over it several times last night. It is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Seriously, I've done it myself
every once in a while. I will hit a contest where I can absorb all the prompts. I did that with one of Pam's contests, where she had a photographer that was a global photographer that was taking pictures of all the different cultures across the world, and I saw it in microcosm. I saw the whole, I saw the meta of the whole thing, and that's what I wrote to. And every once in a while, you can do that. It's so rare, but you if you want to read something really impressive, you've got to see what she wrote to the contest. It's amazing. But this is a terrific piece. I love this piece.
Mhm. Oh yeah, indeed. Amy is a very intelligent and very amazing, talented writer. You know, thought provoking piece.
Yeah. This is deceptively cerebral, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And Kate, your thoughts?
I was just going to say, Naomi, we have about 4 minutes left. I don't have any indication of what are SoundClouds on my list here. I don't have any more SoundClouds to go, or will I just put the next one?
No, we don't have any more SoundClouds. I think we did them all. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just comment on the time of day. I thought, yes, as Bob said, you both said, it's actually so clever. I just love the purpose likes to pass me by. We nod our heads good day. So yeah, that is just, you know, basically she's saying it doesn't really matter what you might think I should do. I'm going to do what I think is right. But because nobody's telling me any different. I just, very clever, very clever. And I just also want to say that I'm very happy to be back in my little space on Keeping It Brief. I've had a lovely time, apart from the nervous breakdown with my PC. Oh my goodness me! I mean,
bad
it only happened.
Bad computer.
Oh damn thing! Damn it! I think I'll go back to either Morse code or Semaphore, because they won't let me down. Okay, so do you want me to put another one up, or shall we just have a little chat?
No, we'll just talk about maybe upcoming shows. I just want to say I'm so happy to have you back, Kate. And, you know, for people wondering, Diane will supposedly be with us next week. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And thank you so, so much, Bobby, for dropping in. You know, it's such a pleasure to have you. You're such a joy to have on the show. You bring with us. You bring with you such, words for thought every time. I find, you enrich us.
As my Irish friend used to say, "Oh, go on with you now."
I know I have a show, Art of Seduction, with Pam tonight. So if you want to stop in for that, Pam has awesome prompts up. It's called From a Song, and it's on neon lights, and awesome prompt for that show tonight. And that's at 10 tonight. And I also have a new contest up for the next Art of Seduction, which it will be my 100th contest.
Woo-hoo!
On AP. I put up a contest on the essence of the woman. Essence of a woman. So if you want to drop by and write for that contest, I'll be so happy. And because I have a lot of men that wrote to it so far, but I'd really like, you know, the perspective of a woman on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you have any upcoming show you want to share, Bobby, quickly?
Well, we just had one last Saturday, my every other Saturday of Exploring in Phrases. The one that's that will be coming up, not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday, if I can get my tab here to the right. Okay, we have the current contest is the Bookish Satire of Pavel Kuczynski. He's a satire artist, quite well published. And what he's got a huge body of work. And what I did in going through his work is I noticed he had quite a number of pieces that were they were book or literature oriented. So I harvested all of those together, and I put them in one contest. And so there's let me see how many prompts I've got. I've got you know me, I can't stay under. I've got 35 prompts, and each one of them has to do with books or writing, so that's what this coming contest is. The next one is going to be, I'll give you a little sneak preview. Where did I put it? The American Gothic of, where is her name? Thank you. Get in the way. Doggone it. Andrea Couch. She's an American Gothic artist, and that's going to be after this one. But right now, you look at Pavel Kuczynski's stuff, because there's a really clever. He likes to do satire on social media and technology and political and books. And like I said, I took all of his book-related ones and put them in this contest. You'll see him in the future, because there's so much. He's got such a wealth of material out there that I couldn't in all good conscience, put everything in one contest. So anyway, and it's now 2 minutes after 3.
So I just want to say thank you to everybody, you know, for sharing your rights with us. And thank you, Bobby, for stopping in. And thank you to Kate and Pam for being there. And Phil, of course, for everything that she does. And Adam for putting up this awesome show. So thank you, and good afternoon, everybody.
You betcha.
Good evening.
Head over to my house for tea and brioche.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes. Bye.
Bye, my darlings.